official Jets podcast presented by WynnBET. Betting is a team sport, bet together at WynnBET. Eric Allen, Bart Scott, and Brian Baldwin are here at One Jets Drive. Gentlemen, great to see you.
Pleasure.
Great to be back together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's like how I get paid bi-weekly. I get to see Baldy.
He knows the check is coming.
Baldy, where were you last weekend?
I was in Washington to watch Tyreek Hill chase down Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
They forgot to cloud Tyreek on the third play of the game, and he just ran by a rookie corner for 78 yards.
What do you guys make of Tyreek and what he's done this season? He's approaching 2,000 yards here.
Yeah, he hasn't slowed down. You know what I mean? I thought that this was going to be a year where we're going to have two guys over 2,000. Then that would have took away the luster a little bit from Tyreek Hill, because everybody would have said, well, two guys broke Calvin Johnson. It's a reflection of the game and also the schedule, the fact they have an extra game. But the fact, I think he's at, 1,400 yards?
He's over 1,400. He's at 1,481, I think, Bart.
Right, to be honest with you.
But let's start the clock. You know, I talked to him before the game, and I asked him if he's, thinking about 2,000. He goes, yeah, I'm thinking about it, but I don't know if my body's going to hold up. He's in and out of the lineup, but
Ankle's been hurt early in the season.
You know, a couple of different injuries he's battling. But once he gets back out on the field, you never see it.
You know, receivers are like Ferraris and Lamborghinis. They're fast and they're beautiful, but the check engine light is always on. You know what I mean? So it'll get you a good old Toyota Camry, which was what Calvin Johnson was. You know, I still don't know. Like, even if he gets it, I still don't know if it eclipses, in my opinion, what Calvin Johnson did, because he was on a bad football team.
Yep.
And he was the only guy. He was getting, punt coverage, coverage. But Tyreek Hill, making a play at it. What I love about it is he talked about it, and he said he wanted to be great, and he was going to dare to be great, and he did it. I thought A.J. Brown would be right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jalen Hurts, Philly's starting to struggle a little bit of late. Let's see if he can, make a push. I think he's at, 1,100 yards. He's falling off the pace unless he has some monster games.
C.D. might. I don't know if C.D. could get there, but the way he's playing right now, he's playing at the highest level. They're scoring a lot of points. Yeah. But, the one thing about Tyreek, he enjoys the game. He brings a lot of fun.
Right.
And he puts in the work, too.
He puts the work in, and he's tough. That guy will go across the middle. He'll take every shot you want to give him, and he gets up. He's tough,
He's
big. Loves the game.
He's a little big man. People don't realize he's a little big man.
He's got monster legs.
He's a running back.
I remember going out of the Pro Bowl, oh, my God.
I would think he's just as big as Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
And we know what Deebo Samuel, we're not surprised when we see Deebo Samuel run through. He basically can play running back, right? He does play running back.
From the waist down.
Exactly. Yeah. So Tyreek Hill, to me, is the same player, just, maybe not as extinctive inside the box, because I feel like the same runs you do with Deebo, you can do it with Tyreek and let him run between the tackles.
It's interesting looking back, because the Jets were involved in those trade conversations before Kansas City dealt Tyreek Hill, and ultimately he winds up with...
Yeah, he hit us with the pump fake.
Ultimately, he winds up down there, and the Jets are going to contend with the Dolphins for years.
Yep.
But fortunately for Jets fans and for this organization, is that we've got a great pair of cornerbacks here. And Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed, and you can add Michael Carter the second to the mix as well.
Good to see him back, right? Because I think he completes everything, because you can get guys away, and people want that matchup in the slot. They move their best player in the slot, and Michael Carter always steps up to the challenge, and he plays at a high level. And I think that was one of the very few picks that you can kind of point to, that were late rounders. This was a slam
fifth dunk. Rounder.
Yeah, this was a steal, right? And I still like Bryce Hall too, man. Mm-hmm. I still love Bryce Hall.
There's a place for him.
I think when he came in and played, and unfortunately, because of the greatness of Sauce and DJ Reed, he's not able to get out there. But I can see him going somewhere and being one of these pros that gets a second contract and whoa, where he comes from.
He's smart. He's got good size. And he understands the game.
And he would have been a first-round draft pick.
If he
would have hurt his
ankle,
knee.
Whatever he did at Virginia.
Yeah, so, I see a guy like that being a guy that we start paying attention to, year four, year five, and, he signed some three-year deal. Mm-hmm. And, who the hell is this dude? That's kind of, I announced myself to the world, year four. And I feel like he hasn't had the opportunity to kind of grow, but he's going to go somewhere and be somebody's
great
quarterback.
But who's been like that was DJ. DJ was in San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah, same thing.
Two different places, 2 years each, and, the Jets, they were smart enough to understand. Obviously, Robert knew him from San Francisco. But, here's a guy that's really flourished here where he was, you know, I mean, he did start in those two
nickel.
Places.
He had him in a nickel. So, you know, Robert, you know, sometimes you look at the dog in the fight and you don't realize, you know, the intangibles that he brings. I think outside, you know, you see big receivers trying, you know, challenge him. But he's right there. He understands who he is. Like, he's been that height his entire life.
Right.
So he knows how to compensate. He
knows
Robert
pointed and his himself, to your point, he said that in San Francisco, I pegged him as, okay.
Oh, he's short. Let's put him in slot. Yeah, he should be able to change direction, short area quickness.
And he had a hell of a game last week against Atlanta. Both those guys. Mm-hmm. I think Sauce.
He's playing at a higher level than Sauce right now.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was right there with him last year.
Like last week, you're dealing with, you know, Drake, you know, who's 6'5". He's got a big, rangy guy. Like, I don't know why they don't throw to him more.
I can't believe how – I can't understand how they can't – They have matchups all over the place.
All over the place.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah.
Well, let's credit the Jets for taking care of that ground game because everybody's talking about Atlanta's ground attack, and rightfully so. Fourth in the NFL heading into that
and
matchup.
And really four different types of backs. You got a quarterback that can run. All right, they have design Carter runs Patterson. For him. Cordero is a big back. All right, he's got his role. Bijan has got everything. And then Algier was a 1,000-yard back last year as a rookie. So they've got four different types of backs. And if you watched them the week before, like they pounded the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And all those guys, you know, had big games.
Yeah.
So it's a credit, like, to be able to shut that down last week.
Yeah, it was less than 3 yards of per carry.
Yeah, I mean, they stepped up to the challenge. They understood what the mission was, and they exceeded
expectations. They squeezed the hole all day, Bart. They squeezed from the backside, set the edge on the front side. They just squeezed.
And they were going old school. They were double-doubling. You know what I mean? They were trying to get penetration or trying to get movement, you know, on the offensive line, and they just couldn't get it. Guys were sitting on those doubles and holding as long as they could, and the linebackers were coming downhill to pull those double teams off. You know, they were truly working in unison.
The other thing I like about the Jets cornerbacks is – they're not afraid to come up and hit you.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch a lot of teams now throughout the National Football League. A lot of cornerbacks, they don't want that smoke.
We call it the shoe technique. I'm going to shoo them inside. Shoo. Here, I'm outside. Go inside. Yeah. Y'all get them.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, these guys put their face in it, right? And DJ Reed has always had that reputation. I think people are trying to find flaws and weaknesses in Sauce. But him coming up and being a tough guy isn't one of them. I know he wears the grill, so people think he's from the South, but he's from the 313rd, and we don't play that.
That's right. And in fact, you broke it down, him making another play against the run. The thing is, he's not seeing a lot of action on his side. He's just not.
No.
So people want all these interceptions in big-time numbers. What do you do? What's the counter?
They think they law him to sleep. And like, oh, let's law him to sleep. And then try one. He's like, nope.
Well, some days, I mean, even last week, he looks like that right fielder in a T-ball game.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, well, is anybody going to get a ball out here in the outfield today? Like, there was very little to defend.
Yeah.
I know. So let's not bury the lead. Jets started Tim Boyle last two games. Obviously came on in relief of Zach Wilson in Buffalo. He gets the starts against the Miami Dolphins and Atlanta Falcons. The Jets' offense totaled 12 points in those two games.
Earn him a Greyhound ticket.
Yeah. Boyle was released.
Yeah.
Brett Rippon is signed, but the Jets are going to go back to Zach Wilson. 32nd career start. Well, what do you make of what's happening in the quarterback room right now?
I just wonder, you know, first of all, Trevor Siemian looked like, listen, I am post 30. I need at least 30 minutes of warm up in a hot tub. I need to get on the bike. I need some icy bombs. Like, you can't just throw me in here in the third quarter. I was almost off to next week. And, you know, he tried his best. But I wonder, like, if Rippon's up, what happens as far as who's number two.
Okay.
And because you may think that Rippon doesn't, you know, has a disadvantage, but he actually has more experience in his system than Trevor Siemian. So he can probably come in and remember these plays because he's called him and he's actually played them, you know, last year. And
it's just almost impossible, though, to take guys. I've played with backup quarterbacks that came off the street. Like, you know, they know the snap count. They'll study the protections, like, how am I protected? But honestly, the playbook just gets scaled down so much. And then just to try and get the timing with the receivers, it's just very, very hard to come off the street.
I think that's the biggest part, the timing with the receivers. But I think he'll know how to protect himself because he had to do it last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like no matter what, wherever I am, you can put me in Rex's defense and I can make all the communications. I can make all the – now, I may not be able to make the plays because my body won't let me, but I can make all the communications. But, you know, when you talk about receivers and quarterback, it's about – understanding how different guys come out of their breaks, mm-hmm. like when they're ready yeah. for the ball.
Sure, all the option routes.
Yeah, where they want the ball at as well. So, you know, it can have some miscommunications in that regard. But it'd be interesting, man. Listen, one thing you can say, the Jets are making it exciting. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So let's see. Like, if Rippon is up, I mean, I think a lot of that would be determined by how fast and how he looks in practice. The good thing is he's here, and he's going to get 2 days to see the game plan. And I'm sure these game plans are similar to some of the ones that he saw last year.
Yeah.
Let's see if he...
So Robert Saleh's talking now, so we'll have to find out those details later. But with all that being said about familiarity with cadence, with knowing guys and their tendencies and option routes and what they like to do, isn't there some advantages here going back to Zach?
Well, absolutely. I mean, especially if he's going to have this... Well, if he's going to have this... Listen, if I'm going down swinging type of mentality, which I would have going out there. What do I have to lose?
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether I'm going to lose my spot, get benched. I've already done that. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to be afraid of. And sometimes that fear, I think, you know, held Zach hostage. He would hold on to the ball and take bad sacks because he just
didn't want to make a mistake.
Yeah. He, you know, he's like, well, I'd rather just take the sack instead of make a mistake. Where if you don't, you know, take chances at times, you don't have opportunities for those big plays because everybody's covered in this league.
Do you think there are big plays to be made against this Houston Texans defense?
So Xavier Gibson last week makes some big plays. I mean, I think you have to throw the ball down the field in this league. The, the rules are made for it.
You have to.
You can't, especially if you're the Jets right now with the struggling offensive line and the combinations, you've got to get your chunks. You got to find ways to get your chunks. Yeah. And, you know, I don't care if it's gadget plays, yeah. but you've got to take your shots down the field. If you just sit there, like I watched the Patriots last week and they just tried to like run the ball down the field. And then once you get a negative play you're off schedule, like you got to throw it. And if you're going to throw it, take your shots. And, you know, whether it's max protection, speedo routes, half field reads, whatever, you need your chunks in this business. It's too hard right now to just try to march 12 plays.
8 to 10 plays without, if you get behind the sticks with procedure problem, which is a problem with the Jets right now.
Yep.
Saying that, you know, you heard Robert Saleh say that the cadence are actually tricking us, you know, more than it's tricking the opponent.
Right.
So
that's not a good sign, but it happens. Yeah. Like I've been out there with different quarterbacks and, you know, the way that they.
The fluctuations.
Yeah, the inflect and all that can change things. And so you're anticipating, because you have to anticipate the snap. I don't care what position you're at. Yeah. But if you're not hearing it right, it could throw you off.
How much can change with Zach? Just in terms of, like you're talking about. Like because Saleh has said, to your point, like, hey, I want him to go out there and play loose.
He gives you more real estate, right? He gives you more real estate because now he gives you more room on the field vertically because of his arm. So you know you have to respect it. So safeties have to stay deep. You have to be sound on your play action because he can throw it, you know, farther just as far as anybody in this league, and that's a strength of his. And, you know, I like when they go some type of tempo or something because he doesn't get to the line of scrimmage early enough.
Okay.
I think to smoke guys out and to figure out what the coverage is, I think they really need to add a lot of motion to kind of get those zone. You need all that, as many answers to the test as you can get so that you can make that decision, you know, late.
So the motions, everybody talks about how Aaron – that wasn't part of his deal. He doesn't like that.
Yeah, because Aaron would get to the line, and he can go hut, and then he can see the safety coming down. No different than what we saw in Hard Knocks. Hut, the guy come up like, bro, you ain't coming.
Yeah,
like, But not every quarterback can get that information that way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else has to motion. We see it every week. Guys motion.
You're trying to manipulate the defense.
Yeah.
And one way to do it is pre-snap motion and shifting like San Francisco or Miami.
Because you have to show.
But if you already know, can do it by just your cadence, you know, and that's what, you know, I mean, Aaron was talking a couple weeks ago about how he likes Dak and how he's using
the
cadence to manipulate defenses. Because, like, Favre didn't like motions and shifting that shit.
Right.
You know, that Schottenheimer wanted to do. Because every time you move, the defense moved. And he just wanted to line up. He knew where he was going with the ball.
Yeah, and also, like, when you talk about, like, as a quarterback, you know, if you're a smart defense player, no, it's not a lot of guys out there that's like that anymore.
I can tell. Back in my day, get off my grass.
Well, I can tell two or three things, right? First of all, when the clock gets inside of five, as soon as you say hut, I'm flying off the ball. So I'm basically, it's a blitz because I know that you can't go hut.
Mm.
unless it's a no play.
Mm-hmm.
So advantage defense. Secondly, I know when you motion, when he gets to a certain point, you got to hike the ball. So mm-hmm. I'm going off the – so that gives defenders, if you're a smart defender, if you're a pass rusher, it gives you the time to be able to jump off the ball and get a jump on that tackle, because I know that the motion, when he gets to the slot, you what are you going to do, keep going to the sideline? The ball got to be hiked.
Time.
Right, yeah. ball got to be hiked, yeah. Right? So I know when certain motions – see, but that's the game within the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Tom Brady was talking about when we talk about how dumb these players are nowadays. Right, because we would use that type of information from each other.
Sure.
Right, because we would know when it's on first down. Oh, Monday. Oh, really?
But the dude with just that, say though, Monday. Bart, like, but even taking a step further, like you're inside linebacker, like you're reading all those stances. You know when guys are pulling.
Yeah.
You know down the goal line if a guy's pulling, if he's going to get a little deeper in a stance. Like all these things, like and you might not know it right away in a game, but you watch it long enough, you. Like, you know, the old linebacker thing is I know the formation, I know the play. And a lot of that is true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, very few people are able to get away from the indicators that you've seen all week on film.
Call, alignment, keys, execution.
It's only two things you can do. It's maybe three things you can do to me that affects me in certain formations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know that. So, like, my check step reaffirms what I believe. Either it is what I thought it was or something different, so I slow it down and I figure it out. But you take that check step, you know, you should know as a linebacker pretty much what's going on. If it's a run.
Hats.
Right, if it's a run, if it's going outside of me, if it's going man, if it's inside, outside, you know, and then I'm also paying attention to that my linebacker triangle. I'm looking at this tight end, and I'm saying if he's trying to run by me, I know there's no play. It's the difference between being cracked and the difference between a boot. Now, if I'm the front side linebacker, you can go out and be wrong. Backside linebacker, I'm just going to wheel turn with him. Guys be man.
Well, that's
zone
why
turning.
RPOs are down this league right now, Bart.
Yeah.
Like, people started like just slow to you know. Like, they weren't running out of there. Like, they were just waiting on the backside for the slant, you know, that they're going to throw off that, you know, run fake.
Jets fans, we're in our final push and the clock is ticking. WynnBET is giving you a golden opportunity to win VIP prizes for the 2023 season. The WynnBET Green Room is the most exclusive space at the stadium with all-inclusive food and beverage, lower-level seats, and appearances by Jets legends and celebrities. New Jersey customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET Sportsbook or Casino. For New York customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET's Sportsbook. The best part? You get an entry for every $100 you wager.
Where do you guys stand on tempo? Because Bart's saying, I want to see the offense get into some up-tempo looks. Is that based on production? What I mean by that is, okay, first down, you come out. Let's say you have a completion 6 yards, then you can go. What if it's an incomplete pass? You're still going tempo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because guess what?
Communication's affected.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go to more standard just coverages.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And positioning right there to line up because you're going fast. We got to go fast.
Simplifying everything.
And I'm not allowing you to change people out. Because if I get a first down, I know your pass rusher. Maybe you got two or three of them that can go six pass rushes in a row.
Mm.
Most of them can't.
Right.
So if I get you stuck on this field, yeah, you could get me three and out. But, man, if I get two first downs, barbecue chicken. You're going to be trying to lobster and fall and fake injuries to get up out of there. But once that check engine light comes on in the game, it's never coming off. You can get second wins, but once you get tired. So, I especially like them fat guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you can burp the baby all day.
Yeah.
So, like, and the thing is, I'm just going to the huddle so you can't change. Doesn't mean I have to snap the ball. We know the play.
Right.
So
just get to the line.
Peyton Manning used to have – I used to laugh – because I was a guy that never got tired, so it was cool. I was too busy talking. But
of course you were.
The fact that Peyton Manning would get to the line of scrimmage and to have our D lineman in a three-point stance for 13 to 15 seconds, where you would see guys like start taking a knee, looking up, looking at the clock. Damn, he's still in it. And you're just like,
Omaha.
Yeah, it's like, so for defensive linemen, it's like they in a wall sit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You do that for two quarters.
Yeah.
And watch how much pass rush you got if you start getting first down. So it's like body blows. The same way like running the ball is like body blows. Getting to the line of scrimmage and changing the tempo is like body blows.
Perfect transition because you're talking tempo. You're talking physical mindset. You want to see the Jets run the ball. Come out and just run the ball.
Like, honestly, this week in practice, I'm saying let's just even scale the run game down. Like, let's just scale it down. Let's, like, when I played in Buffalo in the K-1 offense there with Jim Kelly for a while. I could teach anybody the run game in 5 minutes. But what they did, though, was they took basically 4 or 5 runs, and every individual drill was against every front. We're going to learn how to block this no matter what they do, bare front, yep, nickel front, you know, goal line. It didn't matter. We knew every single adjustment to anything you did. If you want to stem late, we had all the stems down.
It just
all that stuff. But it was simplistic, but with that simplicity was unbelievable effectiveness. You know, Thurman Thomas, whoever was running, like, and I just think that's what they got to get down to. You know, toss, crack, inside zone, stretch, like, just get some basics down against every front. And so if Carter Warren's your right tackle, like, he's young, he's new position, get him working, you know, right now with Wes Schweitzer. Get him, like, get these guys so that they're not breaking down up front against different looks, and that's what's been happening.
Right. You know, a reduce turns into an under on a move, on a slant. So you just got to understand that, you know, that front can, so if you know how to block it, but it just moves on a stunt, and you have to know what you have to do. You don't have to complicate it. You talk about Thurman Thomas, like, that was one of the first, like, run and shoot, you know, shotgun runs type of thing, but there still were power runs, right? You know, and they all timed up the same.
And you've been calling that all year.
Yeah,
they're calling for it. Oh,
yeah. I also, listen, as a linebacker, one of the hardest things for me is to be standing over the guard and not be able to see the running back. So when guys were in that pistol and the running back was behind the line, the quarterback, it's tough to see, right? Because you don't see him. So,
and it bounces you up.
It makes you delay.
You can go right or left.
Yeah.
Equal.
Right. So it delays me because I can't see.
Yeah.
So I'm one step. So, man, God forbid, got to take a counter step and come back the other way. As a linebacker, I'm peekabooing, trying to see behind him, like, where are you at? Where are you going? And that sets your front side guy to work up to the linebacker because it creates bad eyes for him. Like, it's so many different things you can do to manipulate the eyes, and that's really what it's about. You want to cause hesitation.
But what I want, though, with the simplicity – is I want Breece and I want Dalvin to trust up front that they're not going to have to dodge somebody as soon as they get the handoff.
Right.
Like, they're going to get to the line of scrimmage clean. Like, I don't want there's too much dancing behind the line of scrimmage right now.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. They're not wrong. They're breakdowns up front, but they got to eliminate the breakdowns in order to stay on schedule.
Yeah.
You can't run it for 4 yards on first down. On second down, lose two. Yeah. Like, that kind of stuff is happening.
So give me my fullback. Give me my fullback. He'll be my eyes. So if somebody misses, my fullback is going to get me to the
promised land. Is Tony Richardson around?
Exactly.
I saw him at the Legends Dinner on Saturday night. You weren't there, man.
I think Tony can still clean it up.
Hold up. First of all, I was there.
You were?
I just didn't do what other people do and stay to eat for free food. I actually came there for the real stuff, going over the benefits and all the people in the surgery and all that stuff. I was in that one. You came. That just tells me that you came for the food.
Hold on.
You came for the reception and the drinks to watch the Michigan-Iowa game.
Hold on.
That's what you were doing.
I wasn't really interested in the Michigan-Iowa
you
game.
You wanted the sliders.
And by the way, I'm very disappointed in you.
I was there.
You didn't tell me that you were there. Maybe you did go to the meetings. Did he
tell me he was there? Maybe I would have stayed if he would say, "Hey man, your boy's here." You know what I'm saying? I saw Rapati.
Well, he was at the bar.
Yeah, I saw Rapati too. He came up to me.
I saw David Clowney. Didn't know who the hell he was.
Really, Clowney Dew was there?
Clowney went from being a 180-pound receiver to being a 220-pound fullback.
All right.
Like, I'm like,
one of those.
David Clowney used to be the fastest guy in the field.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.340. Yeah. I mean, he was talking to me. I'm like, hey, well, he's like, man, I miss you. I'm like, yeah.
I know. Rapati came up to me.
Rapati looked
at me. It can work both ways. Yeah. You can either gain 40 and not recognize him, or you can lose 80.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Fabini's lost about 70.
He?
Oh, yeah.
Rapati's in great shape.
Oh, my God.
Rapati's actually in better shape than he was. He lives right here in Sparta. I'm like, bro,
I know.
I didn't know you were in Sparta.
I know. It's very important this holiday season that you call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, okay?
Mental health.
Connie gained weight and lost his dreads. Like, first of all, now you got a big beard.
Yeah.
And you 30 pounds bigger.
But you know what happens to those guys like that?
They get
so tired of work. They're done working out. Yeah. Like all I did was work out my whole life. Yeah. I was on a track. Yeah, I'm running. I'm sprinting. I'm done with working out.
Yeah. Yo, and that's what they're doing. I promise you, after this show's over, I'm going to show you a picture of David Clowney. And you're going to be like, hold up. That's the same person?
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, I'm recognize him always from his hair. He had dreads on his back. Now he's bald head. That's like from one extreme to the next. Yeah. Like, at least give a brother.
Did he lose his power when he cut the dreads?
I don't know. Samson. Samson, right? At least give me something in the middle. Give me a Desmond Howard afro or something. Give me the microphone head or something, man.
You know, Rapati's about 6'7". He used to play defensive line here. He comes up to me, shakes my hand, says, "You remember me?" I'm like,
"We only had one 6'7" D tackle."
And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "You remember me?" He got me, man. I'm like,
he was so tall, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good to see a lot of those guys. But for me, because I wasn't here that long, I don't know a lot of the history of a lot of the older guys.
Yeah.
Right. Because I wasn't around. So, I didn't see them around as much. You know what I mean? But I think Wesley Walker was there.
Yes, he
was. I saw mm-hmm. Vinny, of course, he's recognizable. You know, all grayed out now, you know what I'm saying?
Wink Rebutt in the house.
When he played till he was 43.
Right. So as soon as he retired, he was getting his pension immediately.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so let's talk about a young quarterback. Jets facing CJ Stroud this weekend. You guys surprised at the success he's had so far? I know he was a tremendous college talent.
He's getting people fired, man. Frank Wright is no longer here because that decision was catastrophic. He's going to go down.
But you know what's amazing, though, is so people were, there was maybe you were on the CJ Stroud, train from the very beginning. Yeah. There was a big split between it. But the game is so different. The NFL game is so different. And Bryce just looks small and he plays small. And you don't even think about that with CJ. And you just see a polished guy that is poised, makes these throws look so easy. I remember him at the combine. Bryce didn't throw at the combine, and CJ did. I just remember watching CJ throw at the combine going, man, he made this drill look easy. It's the combine. Nobody's under pressure. He's not getting hit. I get it. Still, when he throws on Sundays now, like his motion, his movement is just so natural.
Yeah.
Now, we knew he had that at Ohio State, but people they want to think too much. Well, they got four elite receivers to throw to. They want to say all this other stuff. Instead of just saying, the guy knows how to play quarterback.
He's thrown for more yards than anybody in football. I think the most impressive thing for me is
it's a two-minute drill. Yeah. It's winning
games.
It's the
poise. I think,
it's all of it.
But what about the five interceptions? He's throwing a ball a ton. Yeah. He's got five interceptions.
He had three in one game, so that just lets you know that the other games were clean. I think really what happened, in my opinion, is the fact that, Fields hadn't worked out. So I think he was victim of same system, successful quarterback in college, still trying to find his way. And remember, I think he proved that he can also be a agile quarterback by the fact that in the bowl games he was able to show his athleticism.
Yeah. In fact, he said that after that Georgia game. Maybe I should have run more.
Right, but I think that showed that he was capable. And it was weird because Justin Fields didn't run in college either.
Right.
And maybe that's something that's coached into them and drilled into them in Ohio State.
But it's also a problem of, Ohio State doesn't put out quarterbacks.
Right, it's the whole thing.
You get fallen into that silly
Alabama,
trap.
And so that's not you doing your due diligence, not judging a player, you judging the program.
It's just got to judge each guy individually.
I mean, look at Alabama, man. Right? It's true and it's false at the same time. Because you look at Mac Jones, looks like, maybe it's true. But then you look at Tua Tagovailoa, maybe it's not.
Jalen Hurts.
Right? So it's like one of those things, right? So that's why I think sometimes we stereotype and typecast people in programs.
Yep. Definitely do.
It used to be Penn State was linebacker get one, right? We know that Iowa, your Iowa lineman.
Tight ends.
You're going to be right. Yeah. Right? If you're a pass rusher now, Ohio State's the place to go. They got the best pass rushers. It'll be another trend coming out and – maybe those schools are just the flavor of the day, and the best players go there. All the best players are going to Georgia right now.
Yeah.
But if Georgia starts to show that they're mortal and the program goes down, then people start going other places. And it's going to be different. It's going to be more extremes now because of the transfer portal.
Sure.
But before, it used to be all the good players go to one place, whether them JUCOs or not, and it just replenishes. But now it's going to be difficult to try and track the trends of the program, because every team, every year now is just a totally different team.
Well, we're going to end on college, but let's stay here with the Jets and Stroud. What do you like most about his game?
The poise.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's just poise.
Well, I always think this. I always think the receiving core is a product of how good your quarterback is. Mm. Like, Nico Collins was there for 2 years. Nobody said anything about Nico Collins. Like, now you got a quarterback. Nico Collins looks like a number one receiver. Like, not only is he tall and fast, but you see this, the whole route tree. You see the trust. You see the route combinations. And all of a sudden, Nico Collins is a dangerous guy. You know, Noah Brown was in Dallas. He was just a guy. Mm. Like, Noah Brown has stepped up, and he's had 100-yard receiving days with C.J. Stroud. Dalton Schultz was a good player in Dallas. He looks like a great tight end in Houston.
I mean, I love him in Dallas.
The quarterbacks, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, these guys, like, the receiving core, the guys that catch the touchdown, they go someplace else, they don't do so much.
Right.
Like, the quarterbacks make these guys because it's the trust, it's putting them in a position to make these plays, and then once they start feeling it, then their whole confidence changes.
Yeah, we didn't even go Tank Dell, right?
That Tank was
– so now –
they
now,
couldn't cover Tank at the Senior Bowl. Yeah. Like, nobody could cover that kid.
So now you don't know how to – you don't know how to to defense them, right? Because they don't have a guy like, oh, let's take this guy out.
Yeah,
and he's getting everybody open, and when you have that, then it's a dangerous team because he'll always be able to find a matchup because you're not focusing on one player or two players. You got four receivers that he's feeding the ball to, and it's like, you know, when you're serving up to everybody, you're the can man. Everybody can get it. Then it's tough to defend.
Jets defense will be up for that matchup. Great breakdown from you, Baldy, as far as Jermaine Johnson. Yeah. Guy continues to
well, the Jets got three great defensive backs, so that's different. Not a lot of teams got three.
What do you make? I wanted to get you guys' take on the safety. Jets have three this year. Last time they did that as an organization was 2010. You know a little bit about that.
Yeah. Attack mode, baby.
What do you think about the specific play?
Well, the play
quit
by
knifing
Ashton.
In there and Ashton.
I mean, that's an unbelievable play. Like, you just jacked the fullback up or the tight end up like that, right into Bijan. Like, that's. And you just ricochet the guy to the ground. Like, that's just an aggressive – like, you could play the play and never make that safety unless you just blow that guy up
right.
the way that he did.
And they were assuming a lot. They were assuming that, one, they were going to be able to cut off Quinnen, who saw that it was a zone and adjusted, right? Didn't just fire off, you know, vertically. He saw it and he changed his angle, which put him front of the guard, which put, you know, pressure on the entire line.
Bijan.
Right, because everybody else was trying to, you know, they were trying to get stretched and get up to Ashton Davis, but Ashton came down so hard that we call setting the edge from inside. So you can get cut off if you set the edge by having penetration. So he saw, we always say shoot your gun, right? And when you get down there, we had one play. It was called field blitz. Right, and we were going to come from the field, and we were going to play like cover two on the backside because, you know, you get down there, you get penetration, you know, good things happen because even if the quarterback
holding calls,
so you can get a holding call, you can get intentional grounding, you know what I mean? Then you're all good. So, like, you know, now with that being said, you also can go 88 and out the gate if they, you know, because you leave yourself vulnerable. But, you know, when you have
corner. I was surprised by the play call
But when you have corner, you know, they I didn't think they thought they can come off with the double-doubles knowing that the linebackers would shoot downhill. What they didn't anticipate is that Ashton would come and shoot downhill just as fast as a linebacker and believe what he sees because he was forced.
For my money, that's one of the plays.
That's a great play.
Of this season.
It's a great play.
Throughout the National Football League.
But Ashton's been making plays like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's really taken advantage. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why they, you know, they released Adrian. Like, you know, he's just been making those kind of plays. And it's a perfect, you know, I don't know if he's a back-end safety.
We've been waiting for him.
He's been in 4 years now,
yeah,
Bart.
We've been
but, like, they finally
him.
Got him in a place. And there's a place
and
for three safeties.
Big nickel, right?
Big nickel. There's a place in this league right now. I mean, almost every team has that package. Baltimore plays that package. Like, you need that flexibility to cover, to blitz, to play the run. Yeah. Like, it's
you need guys that can play the run and also be able to communicate with the corners with all these motions and bunch packages. You can't at certain times when you have a big linebacker out there that you can't tell a corner to pass a route to a linebacker. So you got to lock it. So it creates so much traffic because now the linebacker has to go inside out instead of just passing and letting it come to him because he has the running back and you're not going to pass a receiver to a linebacker. But if you have a big safety out there, you have trust. So, you know, we used to have the Spartan package, of course, with Smitty that brought in Eric Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Diggs package that brought in James Hedibo, who was like, you know, one of those 205 guys that can communicate. So, you know, the fact that the rest of the league is catching up to what Rex is doing just tells you how far ahead of the game he was.
All right. Here's a bonus for you. This is how we're going to put a cherry on top. Florida State being kept out of the college football playoff. A lot of conversation about that. Obviously, it's Michigan 1, Washington 2, Texas 3, and Alabama gets that 4 spot. You guys who played big-time college football also played in the National Football League as competitors. What's your take?
Well, I think, look, you want the 4 best teams. And I don't care what Florida State's record is. They're not one of the best 4 teams with the third-team quarterback right now. They're just not. And so I didn't have any problem with it. I also had a problem with how Georgia could lose by a field goal in a championship game after winning 29 straight and not be one of the 4 best teams. So I don't know if they got any of it right. I believe Alabama deserved to be in there.
Well, okay. It's not when you lose. I mean, it's not who you lose to. It's when you lose for the most part. And, you know, if this was the BCS right now in the NFL, would we have any problems not putting the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs? Do we not know what that's going to look like?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons against the Dallas Cowboys. At the end of the day, the bowl games have an obligation to their TV partners not to have guys turning the TV off and watching something else.
You don't want to see Georgia TCU.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's over in the first quarter.
So I mean, it's unfortunate that they got injured, but they have to understand, that life's not fair. And that's just kind of what it is. It was a bad injury. If it was an injury to anybody other than a quarterback,
because
we see every week on Sunday how losing a quarterback affects the winning and losing in this league, right? You know, so I think they got it right because in Georgia it seemed like they understood immediately. Like Smart, as soon as this game, he basically was giving this concession speech about why they won't be in the playoffs. Didn't have a strong strength of schedule, lost to Alabama. You know you had to put Alabama in, but if you put Alabama in, you got to put Texas in, because how are you going to say that, you know, you got to go to the head-to-head matchup?
Even in
the head-to-head matchup with Alabama and Texas, like Nick's got this right. Like you lose to Texas in the third week of the season. Like they're not the same team. The quarterback was benched. He's back. He's a much better player now. And so you need the 4 best teams now, September.
But Texas hadn't lost a game, and they looked better as well.
Yes.
So they're saying, we beat them then, and we have made the same jump that Alabama's made.
No doubt.
Both better.
Yeah.
So if we beat them and we got the same record.
Sark's got a good case.
You
got
to move me up. So it was like one of those things.
I like that on both sides. Who wasn't happy
was Michigan. Like, hold up. We got to play them? Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Hold on. I think Michigan was rooting for Florida State.
Sure. Yes.
So now the fact that they got to play, it looks like it could be Texas and Alabama. I can find it hard pressed. I don't know how much offense Michigan can get. Michigan hasn't looked great in his last 3 games. And I know that, they can say Harbs wasn't there, but Harbs was back. And against Iowa, that was not a dominating performance.
No. I was checking that out at the Legends Dinner.
Yeah, I know, exactly. When you could have been calling your boy, we could have been checking it out together.
Michigan got bounced by TCU last year, and
this is hard.
They can't get bounced again.
You're leaning Bama. You both are leaving Bama there.
I'm leaning towards Bama.
And what about
the quarterback right now? He can beat you in so many different ways.
They can win ugly. They can win ugly.
The Michigan's built in the trenches. Like you want to go try to play the game in a phone booth. Yeah. Like they're going to beat you up.
But can they touch? Can they like? I think that, you know, when you look at Alabama, they're still a tough team. So you can maybe be a little bit better than them, but you can't give them a heavy dose of running the ball. They'll come down and add that blitzer in there and not respect you on the outside, and then what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a close game. If Michigan plays the way they play, it's still going to be a close game for Alabama. Alabama can score points and play a different style of game if they have to. I don't know if Michigan can.
I like the other matchup, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
Washington.
Because Washington can do damage through there. And Texas, if there's one area where you would say suspect.
Well, the quarterback's good in Washington, and they got a couple of offensive tackles that are going to be playing in the NFL next year.
Well, if Penix wants to get that money, you know, you got the stage. What they say, if you are what you say, you are a superstar. Listen, the camera's here. Have no fear. We'll see if Penix got that fear.
That's it for us. Call somebody you haven't
talked to in a long
time. My singing
is that bad? Did you wrap it up because my singing is that bad?
No, I thought it was good. It was a high note.
It was a rap.
But remember, call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. It is the holiday season.
And he might just not have hair anymore.